Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up later, we will talk about these two scams in the news. These are unbelievable stories. I mean, it's bad enough that real investment firms are going under. Now we have two major fake investment firms apparently going under. One is being called the biggest Ponzi scheme in history, bilking New Yorkers and others out of $50 billion. So we will talk about that coming up in a little bit this hour. But if you want to see what the foreclosure crisis is doing to our neighborhoods, go to Paterson, New Jersey. One in 10 homes in that city of 150,000 people is now in foreclosure. For another segment in our series, Uncommon Economic Indicators Now, we take a look at foreclosure, and we'll talk about unemployment, too, in Paterson. Our guest is Silk City Mayor Jose Joey Torres, here to talk about how his city is handling this crisis as an indicator of what's going on in our area. Mayor Torres, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Give us an overview first of this very diverse city. Who lives in Paterson? Who's getting foreclosed on?
Well, the faces of Paterson are really the faces of America. Paterson is one of the oldest industrial city, the first planned industrial city by Alexander Hamilton. And basically, we're one of the most diverse cities in the state, over 58 different ethnic groups residing in Paterson. So the foreclosure situation really mirrors what's happening across the nation.
Although 1 in 10 is a very high foreclosure rate for any city. Why is Paterson being hit this hard?
Well, you know, it's a combination of a few things. The downfall of the economy, the American economy, loss of jobs, you know, it is one. Then that combined by unscrupulous real estate practice and lenders, I say a combination of both of those have been the fact that the reason why we experience such a high rate of foreclosure.
Is it concentrated in certain populations? I know you said it's extremely diverse, so many different nationalities represented, certainly the case. In very broad terms, I gather that Paterson is about 40% black, 40% Latino, 20% other. Is this a largely African-American foreclosure crisis, largely Latino? How do you describe it in population terms?
Well, population-wise, today Paterson is the majority is Latino. And then next is African-American, and third is your other category, Middle Eastern and Anglo. And so, again, it's affecting us all. Predominantly, our city is broken down into wards. So the three main wards, which targets a population of about somewhere like half of our city, 150,000 residents, that's where it's affecting the first, the fourth, and the fifth ward. And it just means, what does it mean? It means a decrease in property value, a decrease in collection of property taxes, an increase of homelessness, increase in the reserve that we have to have for uncollected taxes, and something that's most alarming is increase in theft of precious metals.
Really? Where does that come in?
Well, that comes in that when a house is abandoned and not properly boarded up, or even if it's boarded up and it's broken into because of the economy crisis, folks are just going in there and stealing your copper and stealing your border, your aluminum, and your other precious metals.
Looting.
Which just exacerbates the problem.
They're looting. You can't police against that?
Well, yes, but, you know, many times they go into the middle of the night, and the next thing you know, we find out early morning that the house has been actually broken into. In some cases, you don't even see where they're going in until they're trying to sell the house and find out that it doesn't have no copper no longer or no boilers. So it's a very it puts us in a very, very, very sad situation. I am glad that help is on the way. Recently, Congress adopted a neighborhood stabilization program through HUD, Housing and Urban Development. And Paterson was one out of five cities in the state of New Jersey because of a high rate that received a separate entitlement grant. The state of New Jersey overall received approximately $51 million. Which will be doled out on a competitive basis once HUD approves its plan. Patterson received was entitled well allocated $2.2 million, which now we're targeting the first ward.
And that's to buy and renovate distressed housing. So is that to set up more for renters and less for homeowners?
It allows the plan allows the flexibility of a few things. A, it allows to municipalities to buy these substandard homes if they're beyond repair, knock them down, and demolish them, land bank them, and then build again with some affordability contingencies on there, combined with your community development corporations or faith-based corporations, CDCs, and be able to return them back to the tax rolls in that format. It also allows municipalities to go out and negotiate with the banking institution and attempt to go ahead and buy it as a discount, put some money into rehab, and then be able to flip it, really, to use that term lightly, back to the community as an affordable housing and return it back to the tax rolls.
Now,
so what Patterson's plan is doing is a combination of both. Demolishing, building new on an affordable basis, and buying and rehabbing those homes and those properties, which if we don't pay attention to them now, is just going to spread like a cancer in those pockets, in those streets, in those
right.
neighborhoods, where you see that recently Habitat has built homes. I had a successful infill housing development over the last 6 years, over 1,000 units built. But some of these units has fallen to the crisis of foreclosure, and now we need to make sure that we bring somebody to live in those houses, so that way the neighborhood doesn't deteriorate.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with the mayor of Patterson, New Jersey, Jose Torres, as we take this economic indicator of what's going on in our area, and you're hearing some of the very stark and really heart-wrenching details of foreclosure in particular in Patterson and the high rate, about 1 in 10 foreclosure rate in Patterson right now. And we'll talk about some of the social ripple effects as we go on. But you mentioned the 1st, 4th, and 5th wards, which tend to be the poorest and actually have the lowest rate of owner-occupied housing, I believe. Patterson has long had a lot of absentee landlords, people in the wealthy areas outside the city buying houses, minimally maintaining them, renting them to residents. Are these the properties that are being foreclosed on, or is it just the owner-occupied housing of lower-income residents?
I would say the majority are owner-occupied, low-income housing, and also some newer homes that, again, because, the subprime and some unscrupulous lending practices, understanding that, we had a problem that at one time, the American dream was to own a home, and we can't really try to prevent that. But not everyone, the reality is not everyone could really become a homeowner. So what has Patterson been doing? We quickly took some community development block grant dollars and hire a housing counselor. Statistically, we'll see that all those families that we sent to housing counseling and then supplied a subsidy to become homeowners through our first-time homeowners program utilizing federal funds, you'll see that they haven't experienced the foreclosure experience. What happened was that folks, the lending institutions were very generous. People were getting very creative in how they were applying for these mortgages. And those individuals really could not afford to be a homeowner in the first place. So you'll see that those that are fell in these foreclosure, the majority of the property that has fallen into foreclosure status have been property that has been recently sold over the last 5 or 6 years.
The city and state built lots of affordable housing that was to be owner-occupied as well. Are those owners still in their homes, or are they facing foreclosure in the market, in the same way?
I'm glad to say that those that bought homes under a subsidized program that went to my home ownership program or complied with the sweat equity program of Habitat for Humanity, or was a combination between the city and my faith-based community acting as a community developer. Those, you see, that had not fallen in the crisis of foreclosure.
Did you do something right that Fannie and Freddie did wrong?
Well, I pride that I did have done something right, because we do see those that, that has gone through these hard times have not fallen in. Those who went through the program and completed has not fallen into the foreclosure situation. So now what we're doing is we took the same dollars, hired our own housing foreclosure counselor, so that we're able to identify before it falls into a pre-foreclosure situation or status. I'm not proud to say of the numbers. I'm saddened that I received this money, and I'm not proud to say of ranking where I am in New Jersey right now. Just recently, a series of 240 in December. A portfolio value of $1.4 million. You know, that it just continues to exacerbate and erodes it. And but on the bright side, 225 of them of those we were able to work with the counseling, work with the banks, and be able to refinance and do some short sales, so that the ultimate part doesn't allow them to just stay empty and folks become homeless.
My guest is the mayor of Paterson, New Jersey, Jose Torres. And listeners, our phones are still down. We're having some phone problems this morning, so chime in on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Anyone from Paterson particularly invited right now for these next few minutes, but of course anyone may post a comment or a question, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And here's one that came in, Mayor, that says, I'm an employee at Passaic County Community College in Paterson, and it seems to me that the area around the college and downtown is experiencing something of a boom in construction. Hopefully the new businesses being erected will help revitalize this wonderful, diverse city's economy. Is that happening?
Yes, it is. I'm proud to say that throughout the crisis, we're still seeing some signs of hope. And developers are still working with my Department of Community Development and working with Department of Community Affairs in the state, thanks to the leadership of our governor. We are still working to bundle these projects, because cities, you know, such as Paterson, the third largest in the state of New Jersey, is important that they continue to be the hub. In the case of Paterson, we're the county seat, within walking distance of the college, walking distance in this train. We just recently got designated as a transit, received a grant for a transit-oriented design, which that's why we see not only the refurbishing of the old Fabian Theater, we're seeing the refurbishing of the Alexander Hamilton Hotel, we're seeing hundreds of units being built around the college to support Passaic County Community College.
And is this basically government-funded development because private money is going away?
The majority is private money. However, we do leverage our RCA dollars, which are the regional contribution agreement. Those dollars now have to be redirected, but they primarily were, the intent of the RCAs was to produce and support affordable housing. That is all predicated on New Jersey's Mount Laurel decision.
I want to ask you about the effect on the social fabric of this foreclosure crisis of a 10% rate. I mean, years ago, I know you took then Senator Corzine on a bus tour of Paterson, pointing out all the abandoned properties, and you made a pitch for building affordable housing there. Paterson has long had blocks with abandoned homes, drug dens, vacant lots. What's the housing crisis doing to the social fabric? Are neighborhoods being affected, communities, not just individual homeowners?
Well, correct. But I think that if we look at best practices, I'm very grateful that what that tour allowed, the outcome of that tour was to bring to light what Paterson had experienced in the past 20 years. And I'm grateful that the governing body, the municipal council, allowed me to then go ahead and hire a planner to redo the master plan. Then it was evident that the master plan a show that we needed to give special attention to 10 areas that were identified as areas in need of redevelopment. We then reached out, understanding that no one knows the community better than the people who live in it, to the faith-based community and the not-for-profits to empower them to become a change agents in their neighborhood. And we did that. We sold them some of that empty land at a low, moderate cost. We gave them technical training. We partnered them up with developers. And so today you have active CDCs who build those scattered homes, who made them available for their constituents and their congregation. And that has led to, quite honestly, over 2,500 units of housing being built in my tenure as mayor, the 6 years. And for the first time in a long time, starting to not only see those very few vacant parcels of land, but now you're starting to see that in those absentee landlords' residential properties, you're starting to see for rent, which means that Housing Choice has allowed them to take, if they were paying $1,200 a month rent, allow them to move and use that amount that they were paying to become homeowners. Mm. Now, it was so easy that the bank was lending so much money to become homeowners that because of the subprime conditions and, again, bundling up multiple family members, even if they didn't live there, to put them onto the mortgage papers in order to get a mortgage, then the cousin moved out. He went relocated back to his native land or left to another town. The income was no longer in there,
right,
and therefore it led to not being able to pay.
And you've got the unemployment problem to go along with the foreclosure problem, also a 10% rate on the unemployment lines, and I'm sure that's affecting the communities too. I read that the Lakeview neighborhood is also seeing a high rate of foreclosure, and that was always a relatively middle-class neighborhood of Patterson with owner-occupied homes. What's happening there?
Yep. The Lakeview is experiencing it. We believe that by directing these dollars into the north side, the first, the fourth, and the fifth ward at this time, that the Lakeview, the Hillcrest, and the Manor section, the east side section of town, will the market will be able to take care of that situation. But at the core of the city, when you look at a map of the city, the first, fourth, and fifth ward are the nucleus of the city. The sixth, the second, and the third are all your typical one-family home surrounding the borderline of Patterson, neighboring Totowa, neighboring Hawthorne, neighboring Clifton, which the market, I believe that the market will come and assist us in stabilizing those neighborhoods.
Those attention
has to be in the nucleus.
On the low income areas. So the last question, you mentioned some immigrants leaving their homes and going back to their native lands. And here's a post on our website that says, I don't live in Patterson, but in another immigrant area, mostly Spanish and Arab speaking. All those who moved from their homes because of financial reasons return to their home countries. Is this so there too? Asked that listener. And you know, in a larger sense, I wonder, are you starting to see reverse migration more than immigration under these conditions of the last year or so?
Well, Patterson has been one of the few cities that have shown continuing growth. In a report promulgated by the Department of Community Affairs, Patterson is the fifth fastest growing city, was ranked one of the fifth fastest growing cities in the state. So, yes, we have the exodus, but Patterson has always been known as a city that has been a revolving door. And so, you know, where it was, you know, Dominicans 20 years ago, today they're Costa Ricans. We see an increase in our Bangladesh, our Indian community, where 10, 20 years ago was more of Arabic American community.
Last thing, as the Obama administration comes in and considers foreclosure policies and stimulus packages, what kind of specific policies would most help Patterson?
Well, I think that, you know, in an earlier conversation, a conference call with Mayor Healey and Mayor Booker, being the one and two and three, and soon Newark is going to take two, Jersey City will become number one, as a, you know, the top three cities. We believe that it's going to have to come in two areas. One, it's going to have to come in the area of HUD. We're going to have to tweak the regulations. We're going to be able to have to say that we're going to have to be able to allow our CDBG funds, let mayors direct those funds, handle those funds directly based on our entitlement, because it's all based on census tract. The bottom line is that's how those dollars are allocated, and allow us to use that flexibility to even do some refinancing ourselves out of these dollars. Be mindful that, but with the rehab money that we did, I'm going to just pull those in and make those houses available to the same families, over 300 families that have gone through my housing counseling who have not found a home yet that they've been able to afford. So if I take those same, take 10% or less than 10% and make these homes available to them, I could then recycle that money, keep on fixing up foreclosure homes, and returning them back on an affordable manner to those residents who are experiencing the foreclosure or the homelessness rate, or that they just want to come to become homeowners. So we believe that we're going to have to, hopefully the new Secretary of HUD will be able to look at that, those HUD regs or CDBG entitlements, and give mayors greater flexibility for those areas in order to improve those census tract areas.
Tough.
The second part is going to be, I believe,
30 seconds.
Education. Education is the next largest amount for inner cities is how much we pay to educate our children. Patterson, $520 million for 28,000 kids. Alarming.
Tough times all over right now, particularly tough times in Patterson, New Jersey, with a 10% foreclosure rate and a 10% unemployment rate. Patterson Mayor Jose Torres, thank you for spending all this time with us and letting the people of the rest of the area know what's going on.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And what do Daily News owner Mort Zuckerman, Mets owner Fred Wilpon, and Senator Frank Lautenberg all have in common? Well, they all allegedly got ripped off in the Bernard Madoff Ponzi scheme. Details in a minute. We'll be right back.